So when you add up the principal of the loan plus all of your fees, will the refinance cover the debt is the question that you need to just ask. And will the borrower walk away with a profit? Do you really want to lend on properties if the borrower thinks they're going to walk away with a profit, but you do the math and it's pretty obvious they're not going to walk out with a profit? Investors are always out there throwing ARV numbers around like confetti at a wedding, which looks great in the air, but you better be ready to clean up the mess if it doesn't land where you want it. Hello and welcome to Nursing Real Wealth. Today, we're diving into yet another crucial topic for private money lenders. This is the topic of after repair value, or ARV. Whether you're new to private money lending or seasoned pro, understanding ARV is essential for assessing the risk and potential returns on your investment. All right, so first things first, what the heck is ARV? If you're thinking, Justin, it sounds an awful lot like a vitamin, you're not far off, because ARV is pretty important to your financial health as a private money lender. ARV, or after repair value, is basically the projected value of a property after all of the renovations and fix-ups are done. Imagine the property is one of those makeover shows where they take a house that looks like it's been set on fire and put out with a chainsaw, and then boom, it's the belle of the ball. That final after picture, that's your ARV. Or is it? Look, fixing up a house to be the Ritz-Carlton in Ding Dong, Texas is like bringing a high fashion runway show to a town where the main event is the annual cow milking contest. Your high-end ARV might be impressive, but if there is no demand, it's like throwing a champagne party at a barbecue joint. So think of ARV as the potential, the goal we're all aiming for. Just like in sports, a lot can happen between the kickoff and the touchdown. Did you calculate ARV correctly? Are the comps accurate and recent? Is there real demand for this property type in this specific market? Are you betting on a trend that may not stick around? And then there's the execution. How good is the contractor? Do they have a solid track record, or is every job kind of a wild card? ARV is full of ifs, and that's why it's crucial to approach it conservatively. Investors are always out there throwing ARV numbers around like confetti at a wedding, which looks great in the air, but you better be ready to clean up the mess if it doesn't land where you want it. So when it comes to comping properties and calculating ARV, precision is key. No one wants to be caught off with a wildly optimistic ARV that doesn't pan out. So let's break down some solid rules to follow when you're pulling comps to calculate your ARV. Current appraisal rules for 2024 ensure that we stay current and relevant in our ARV calculations. So the first rule is use comps no older than 90 days and keep your comparisons within the same subdivision. But if you have to make the hard call between the age of the comp and the subdivision that it is in, it's better to go outside of the subdivision than it is to take a comp from a totally different era. But if you must use older comps, then you need to be adjusting your ARV down by 10 to 20% to account for potential market corrections. Also, stay within plus or minus 250 square feet of your property size. Because price per square foot could be markedly different outside of that window. Think of it. You know, you got a luxury house at 8,000 square feet, and you got your average Joe house in a run-of-the-mill neighborhood at 1,500 square feet. Those price per square footage is going to be totally different because the finishes are different, the cost to do it is different, the market is different for those two different homes. So stay plus or minus 250 square feet of your property size. In addition to this, we need to stick with the same property type. So we need to make sure, is it a ranch? Is it a two-story? Is it a historic home? Mixing apples and oranges here will lead to very messy valuations. And whatever you do, you got to make sure that you don't cross major roads when pulling comps. Neighborhoods can change drastically on the other side of the main street. Another key rule to avoid is using comps that are greater than a 10-year plus or minus of the build date for the subject property. So the closer to the build date of the subject property, the better the comp. Technology, the techniques for building were different in different eras of building, okay? It is true that anything, 1950 and before, the technology wasn't massive difference. So this tightening of the build date against the subject property kind of differs depending on the age of the property. But generally speaking, we want to make sure we're plus or minus 10 years of the build date. And also, we need to make sure that we're comparing homes within roughly about 2,500 square feet of your lot size. Obviously, some of this changes a little bit in maybe more rural areas, but generally speaking, 2,500 square feet of your lot size. We want to make sure we're in that range. Bedrooms can also adjust your value by up to $10,000 to $25,000, depending on the type of property you're looking at. Bathrooms can adjust the property value. If it's a full bathroom difference, then it can adjust the property's value by $10,000. Pools can adjust it by $10,000. Garages, you can adjust it by $10,000. And a carport may adjust the property value by about $5,000. Another important component to consider is the property's value if it's near traffic, like high traffic volume areas or commercial areas. You need to deduct value from the property. And this really, this does vary based on the price point of the property, but you do need to deduct value from the property. If it's siding traffic or commercial, backing traffic or commercial, and particularly if it's fronting high traffic or commercial. So for properties under 500K, siding traffic or commercial, you can deduct $10,000 from your ARV. If it's backing with traffic or commercial, then you're going to deduct $10,000 as well. And if it's fronting traffic, then you might get hit with much closer to a $20,000 deduction, $10,000 to $20,000. For properties over $15,000, we're actually going to deduct a percentage, not just a flat fee. We're going to deduct a percentage. So if it's siding traffic or commercial, we are going to deduct 10%. If it's backing traffic or commercial, we're deducting 15%. And if it's fronting, then we need to deduct 20% off of the ARV. So traffic and commercial proximity is very important to your after repair value calculation. The other thing to not forget about is basements or guest houses. They only get half the value of your main house square footage valuation. So when you're running your comps, be conservative, be precise. Make sure that your ARV is grounded in reality and not wishful thinking. Then you're going to take these comps. Once you've found these comps, okay, we're going to move to the next step. We select comps that meet this criteria, and then we're going to map them out on our spreadsheet. And you need to make sure you list out your address, your square footage, bedrooms, bathroom counts, and other relevant similarities there. I personally prefer to calculate the ARV. You're going to find there's a lot of different ways that people will calculate ARV. They might calculate it off of the average sale price. I've seen a few other methods. I personally prefer to calculate it by the price per square footage and by calculating what is that average price per square footage. So if you take the purchase price of all of the comps, so each individual comp, all right, so this one was purchased for $200,000 and we're going to divide it by its square footage. So it's 2,500 square feet. We're going to take $200,000 divided by 2,500. We'll get our price per square foot. And we're going to calculate that for each one of the comps. And then we're going to average out that price per square footage for all of the comps. And then you take the square footage of your subject property, the one you're trying to figure out. So if it's you know, 2,500 square feet too, you're going to take 2,500 and multiply it times the average of all of those price per square footages. Okay. A good rule of thumb though, too, is to make sure that you take a look at what is the sort of the range, right? So average is going to give you what is probably a fairly fair assessment of what it probably will go for. But you need to also take into account what is the lowest one. So if there's one that stands out to you as being somewhat lower, what is the lowest this property could go based on the most recent sold comps that I've pulled? And be honest with yourself about that. So you get yourself kind of a range with your ARV. All right. So that is the most important. These are the most important steps for calculating that ARV. Okay. Now, I'm specifically speaking to lenders in this episode. All right. But this is helpful for borrowers as well to see inside the brain of the lender and try to understand why this is important for anybody who's wondering. Okay. Now there's plenty of sophisticated borrowers out there that don't need this question answered, but there's plenty that we run into who do. And why is ARV important to lenders? And I also want to give it the caveat. ARV is not as important to me as LTV, loan to value, which is the as-is value of the property, which we'll get into in a later episode talking about how to determine what is today's value of this property. But ARV is still important, especially if we're talking about a fix and flip here, right? So where we're going to have some significant rehab, we want to make sure that our rehab budget fits between the purchase price and the final valuation of this property. So that's where ARV becomes important. So you need to make sure that rehab budget, the total loan fees, and the closing costs make sense with the exit strategy that this borrower is selecting. If they are fixing and flipping the property, they're still going to need to have closing costs on the back end of the deal. So depending on how many realtors involved, which most transactions there's two, but you know that can vary. You're going to have a selling agent, you're going to have a buyer representative. Then there's going to be realtor fees, typically around 3% for the selling agent and 3% for the buyer agent. And then there's a whole slew of miscellaneous closing costs, which consist of loan origination fees, appraisal fees, title insurance, escrow fees, recording fees, survey fees, attorney fees, home inspection fees. You get the idea. These fees are different depending on a wide variety of variables, but the national average puts them at roughly between 2 to 5% of the sales price of the home. Okay. So you can plan on between 2 to 5% of the sale price of the home. So that ARV, right? If ARV is what it sells at. So using ARV as your gauge to figure out, okay, how much do I deduct from that ARV that's going to actually make it into the pockets of the investor to pay back the lender and to pay themselves. So between realtor fees and closing costs, you could lose anywhere from 5 to 11% of the final sales price of the home. This also matters when you're dealing with a refinance strategy, because most lenders are only going to go up to a 70 to 80%. I see a lot of mortgage lenders going up to 70% loan to value, and that's it. So it's going to matter when you're looking at who are they getting this refinance by, and do they have the buffer to be able to go to a different lender that's going to only go up to 70% loan to value. So I would use 70% loan to value as the valuation for me as a lender. Be conservative, because things can happen on the back end. Lenders can back out. And so then your borrower's stuck with going with a totally different lender that might only go to 70%. So I would use 70% as a way to gauge this. So let's just say that the property has an objective ARV of $250,000 and the investor already has a lender willing to cash out refinance up to 70% loan to value. The the most that that borrower is going to be able to get out of that property, the most is $175,000 if the lender is only willing to go up to 70% loan to value, right? So when you add up the principal of the loan plus all of your fees, will the refinance cover the debt is the question that you need to just ask. Will it cover the debt? And will the borrower walk away with a profit? Do you really want to lend on properties if the borrower thinks they're going to walk away with a profit, but you do the math and it's pretty obvious they're not going to walk out with a profit? That's not really a win-win. So you could argue that it might be safe enough for you to do it and they took the risk of getting into the loan, but I know that my partner and I at Creative Cash Partners, we don't really love doing loans where we believe the borrower is going to walk away with no money in their pocket, and if they think they will. So will the borrower walk away with profit, or will they have to come out of pocket to cover the debt? Or in our case, we will use cross collateral, as I mentioned in the video before, to collateralize a loan. Will they have to tap into that cross collateral? And we want to determine, are they going to have to tap into it regardless of the outcome of this loan? Or is the cross collateral simply a buffer for things if it goes wrong? So I want to know, from my standpoint, are they going to walk away with a profit, or is this thing too skinny and we're absolutely going to have to cross in, tap into that cross collateral in order for this loan to be made whole for us? If the exit strategy appears to be that the only way to get this paid out is to get it tap into that cross collateral, that's probably not a great loan. It's just going to be a problem for the borrower, and it's going to be a problem for the lender. So if the borrower is not walking away with a good profit, it's not a win-win situation. Probably shouldn't be funded. Another reason that ARV is important is it can be used to validate if the borrower is getting a good deal or not. As a lender, I want to know what a fix and flipper could purchase this property for and still make a profit. Fix and flippers should be using the maximum allowable offer formula or something very similar to it to calculate their purchase price. The maximum allowable offer formula goes like this. It's ARV times 70% minus rehab costs minus desired profit for the fix and flipper. Okay, so ARV times 70% minus rehab costs minus desired profit. Okay, so let's just calculate what a fix and flipper would purchase on this home with an ARV of 250. Okay, so let's say that the rehab budget is $50,000. All right, $250,000 times 70% equals $175,000. Okay, $175,000 minus the rehab budget of $50,000 equals $125,000. Now, most fix and flippers are going to want to see no less than a 15% profit based on the ARV, right? So they want to see 15% of the ARV as their profit. Okay. Some want more than that. I've seen a few markets where people are getting less than that. Those markets seem awful skinny to me, and I don't love the idea of lending in them because it's so tight that there's really nothing that can go wrong for that, and still save the deal. Okay. So anyway, 15% of 250,000 is $37,500. So they would like a profit of $37,500 for that deal. So to finalize what the maximum allowable offer on this property would be, we're going to take that final price that we had 125, right? So 250 times 70% equals 175 minus 50,000 equals 125,000. Okay, we're going to take 125,000 and subtract the profit they want, which is 37,500, and you get 87,500. So the maximum allowable offer on this property that needs $50,000 of work and will potentially have an ARV of $250,000, the fix and flipper shouldn't be buying it for more than $87,500. Okay. So as a lender, I can use that formula to help gauge, is this person actually getting a good deal? Are they going to walk away with a profit? I can figure in all of my fees and see what is the sandwich of profit that we are sharing here in this deal? And is this going to work out to be a good deal? So you can see from all this, ARV, while we don't loan against ARV particularly, we do want to know what the ARV is and make sure it's a number that makes sense with all of our loan fees and that our lender or our borrower is going to walk away with a profit. Okay. Hopefully this was helpful to you. If it was, let me know in the comments below. Thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And join us every other Tuesday for more insightful discussions on nursing real wealth. Have a great day.